It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world, today it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned.
Phew, that's a lot of
A mouthful, right? But on this show where you can find help and hope.
Yes.
And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm doing okay. I have an announcement.
Okay.
I really love doing this show.
Yeah.
For the last 5 years. But this is going to be my last show.
Oh.
What?
Oh, April Fools, you fool.
You're a brat.
You think I would have told you on the air?
I was like, what the heck is she saying to me?
Very believable, though. Very, very.
That was me.
And that's coming from a lawyer, so.
Thank you. And that's coming from a crook.
There you go.
You're a brat. Okay. So I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Sheila in Tampa, Kathy in North Carolina, and Jenny in Seminole.
Welcome, ladies.
Like I always say, there's plenty of room around the Connecting Caregiver table for more listeners, whether you listen when the show's live or on YouTube or Facebook or wherever your place is. Because we just want to be here and be here to help you out. And I have two fabulous people here today. Well, Attorney Sean Scott, who is like on the first Friday of the show every month.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you have any questions, you can call in at 727-441-3000. And Arden Quist, Donna Caesar, who has been my biggest promoter from day darn one.
Say hi, Donna.
Hello.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I have to be good. I got Sean here.
Yeah.
As an attorney, I could get in trouble.
Yeah. Keep you guys in line.
That's
today.
Right.
But you know what the thing is? I'm really careful with the people I align myself with. Because it's a scary thing out there for caregivers and for their loved ones and everything. And like Arden Quist, I always know I can count on them. I know people work at Arden Quist for 20, 25 years, and we're talking from the kitchen staff to the administrative. That's huge. I know if I send somebody there, it's all cool.
Yep.
Agreed.
And Sean's got so much experience, and you've been out there for so long, you continue.
Now you make me feel old.
No, well,
not
yet.
He's been around forever.
We've all been doing this together.
We have.
You know? Forever.
Yeah, and it's a really, really good thing. So before we get into chatting, I want to talk about, we'll talk about the conference always later. But I want to talk about a lot of conversation with aphasia the past couple of days.
Yep.
Because of everything with Bruce Willis. So my friend, Debbie Yonis, is from Voices of Aphasia. And they have a new show that's out. So it's Circle in the Water, and it stars Roxine Fay, and she's an actor, and Debbie Yonis is the executive director of Voices of Aphasia. And the whole show is kind of like about, oh my goodness, I think I might have dementia. Like the questions people ask. And what is aphasia? And I didn't even realize today till she pointed it out to me. She said to me, with dementia or Alzheimer's, your memory goes first. With aphasia, your voice goes first.
Correct.
And then some of them then cross over.
It's not just your voice going. It's your ability to communicate with your voice. It's not like you lose your voice. Your voice works fine.
Yes, but...
It's that the connection between your brain and your mouth gets disconnected.
Yeah.
Sequencing.
Correct. So your brain knows what it wants to say.
Are they automatically going to get dementia?
Who? No, absolutely not.
Could they get their voice back?
There are therapies that have been successful in gaining function back. It's a long slog.
Many times people after a stroke have aphasia.
Yep, big time.
And like Sean just said, with extensive therapy, maybe.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to try.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It can come back. You can get function back. But again, it's a tough road to get back. And boy, I have so many of my clients, especially my stroke clients, it is just really tough because they come into the office, they're in the conference room, we're talking, and I, you know, air quotes, we're talking,
right.
And I know they know what they want to tell me, and they just, it just cannot come out, and the level of frustration you cannot imagine.
Can they write?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, so that's how they communicate or type?
And the, but it's just so, you know, my dad had a series of strokes, and my dad's middle name was Jack Daniels.
Right.
My dad did a lot of business in Manhattan, right, in the bars, and he was a jokester, and now, and I was like, you took his voice? Like, you took his voice.
Right. Yep, I understand.
The worst thing that could happen.
My dad was always also in the printing business, so he had all his jokes printed on business cards.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a great thing.
Right, and he would hand them out, and then people would laugh, and they were like, oh, we want to help this man. Whether it was the nurse, the doctor, the aide, or, you know, makes a big difference with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember one time my dad was in NYU, he was having surgery the next day, and I fly into New York to go see him, and the surgeon comes in the room the night before the surgery. My stepmother's there. Now, my dad's was like 6'2", and my stepmother's 4'11". And my stepmother goes, doctor, I have the stool sample here for you. And the doctor goes, I didn't ask for any stool sample. She goes, no, I have it right here in the drawer. And she opens up the drawer, and it's got the little plastic container, you know. Right. And inside is a little wooden Barbie doll stool.
Yeah, nice. Very nice. Yeah,
the surgeon starts laughing, and my dad said, you always want your surgeon to be happy.
You do.
You do. That's trust important.
Me. I know that.
Your therapist, too. Yeah, you always want them to be happy, too.
I'm going to try that when I need to give a stool sample. Just take one of those in.
That you would do that.
See what they have to say.
She's like, I'm not pooing in no car.
Here you go.
But anyway, so as we get back on the topic, so there's going to be a show tomorrow, and it is called Breadcrumbs. It is about everything we've just been talking about. And it is at Studio Grand Central at 2260 First Avenue South. If anybody's interested, just email me, and I'll give you the link. After the show, there's going to be what they call a talk back. And I will be one of the people on the panel with the talk back. And also Susan Brem, who is she's fabulous, who is a professional guardian. So come have some conversation. If you want to just come to the show and not stand and hang out and talk with us, you don't have to. But I just love that there are more and more venues bringing this.
That's on aphasia?
Yeah. Well, and dementia.
Yep.
And then we have our friends at Sages, Plays With Purpose. Their new show is coming out. It's called Dealmaker. So it says, the family of a charmingly grumpy patriarch thinks it may be time for him to hand over the car keys.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Does he agree?
No, he doesn't.
That's a big deal.
That's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, so it's tomorrow in Seminole at the Peacock Center.
Yeah.
But there's also other viewings at some other venues. So if you go to SagesTheater.org, SagesTheater.org, or just send me a email.
And it's free?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they're both free.
And Arden Courts is a sponsor.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
That it's the Peacock Center, that is actually in Seminole Gardens. So you drive around like that neighborhood and you will get lost if you don't know it's in Seminole Gardens, I promise.
Yes, I've been there before. I did like some health fairs there and stuff.
Yeah, you will get lost in there.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you said that. Mm-hmm. If not, just text me at 727-365-8383 if you get lost.
And she'll pick you up.
Who are you?
I've been lost a long time.
And so one last thing I want to talk about with the extra stuff is the Moby mat. So a Moby mat is mats that are put out on the beach. I don't know if they're made of rubber or whatever they're made of, so that people with disabilities can get on the beach.
Wow.
So that they can go down to the water.
Yeah.
So Disability Achievement Center, Jody Armstrong, I love you, has really been pushing this, and the most recent one has just been approved, and it just went into Madeira Beach. And on Wednesday, April 6th at Archibald Park in Madeira Beach, they'll be having a ceremony. I can't tell you what a difference this makes for the people in our community.
That's huge.
Now, is it always there? Is it like permanently installed type of situation?
Yes.
Cool.
So there's like one in Treasure Island, there's a St. Pete Beach, and they keep going on, they find supporters, and they find people that want to put up some bucks to put them out there.
They're expensive.
Yeah, they're very expensive, but oh my goodness.
I know, my husband couldn't get down to the beach anymore.
No, and it doesn't have to be anybody that's like in a wheelchair or even somebody in a walker could use it. You know, I remember when Skylar got married. So when my granddaughter got married, my husband was failing, and she wanted him to give her away. And so we rented this wheelchair with like these big, huge tires. It's like I didn't even know they had that kind of stuff.
Off-road tires.
Almost. Oh my God, it was fabulous. So they just pushed him out, and then he stood up and gave her away and whatever. But it was so fat. Now,
but you know, if we didn't have that
special wheelchair, he wouldn't have been able to go out there and do that. No way.
Is it like kind of like a carpet that they roll out? Is that where it is?
I mean, it's kind of like
that. That is really neat.
Yeah, it kind of looks like that, but it's permanent.
Was it Jody who was on talking about it?
Somebody Jody Armstrong.
That's a while ago. Yeah. It was all excited.
Well, she's been pushing this for like a couple of years now. Now more and more places
are. That's a great place because that has they support the veterans a lot right there in that area.
Really cool. Yeah. What a great invention.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's what I love about this Tampa Bay area. There are people here that want to make a difference with our seniors, difference with people that are disabled, just want to make a difference and how we all work together and support each other. It's really fabulous because, you know, I go into other states and I talk to, you know, when I do a speaking engagement, it's not the same.
Mm-mm.
It's like, oh, you're stepping on my toes.
Pinellas County is pretty special. Even if you go across the bay sometimes, and not our friends over in Tampa are not necessarily bad people, but not at all.
It's not the same.
But it's not. It is kind of a little special here in Pinellas County. I agree. Yeah. It is. It really comes together. It's like we have a lot more sensitivity about the issue, and we also bond together with the people that we work with. Yeah. So.
Well, we've got more old people,
and there's just something about being by the water.
Oh, and we're by the water. That makes all the difference in the world.
By the sea.
Yeah, I was brought up on Long Island. Okay. So when I came here, I was like, okay, it's kind of like the same.
It's very nice. It's the same without the accents.
So, all right, so Sean, so one of my listeners sent in a question for you.
Sure.
And they want to know, what is the difference between Medicare and Medicaid?
Oh, boy, it's a big issue for us. The two words sound so similar. I mean, And they do similar things. You know, Medicare basically created in the late 1960s. And the way I describe it, and nobody should take offense at this, this is healthcare for old people. Okay. So we rolled out healthcare for old people, basically. And then about the same time when they ran out Medicare, they rolled out Medicaid. And when Medicaid came out, and this is not exactly true anymore either, but it was healthcare for poor people.
Right.
So Medicaid has its origins in how much money you have and what your income and resources are as to whether or not you could get coverage under that program. That's changed a lot, by the way. Here's the rub in my world, is that when they did this Medicare with an R and Medicaid with a D thing, they put coverage for nursing home care and long-term care services, not in the health insurance for old people category, which would be Medicare. That seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. Okay, what they did is they put this coverage for these critical things as we age, long-term care services, skilled nursing, in the Medicaid or under the Medicaid with a D program for poor people.
So just poor people could get it?
Well, what happens is, and what happened early on, is that you had a bunch of poor old people now because they would spend all of their funds on this care until they literally became poor. And then once they became poor, Medicaid would help pay for the cost of that care.
Yeah.
So it's just a horrible setup. I mean, just philosophically, just mind-blowing.
Terrible.
Okay. The nice thing about the whole Medicaid-Medicare distinction now is that with proper planning and if you, you know, have your head up and you have good advice from some good professionals, that you can access Medicaid regardless of what your financial situation is.
Okay.
So,
and that's huge.
So you don't have to be poor anymore to get those services to pay for the cost of long-term care. So Medicaid-Medicare. Here, one last little thing that confuses people. You'll have a family member, a spouse, a mother or a dad, they're in the hospital. They're older, they're on Medicare, Medicare's paying for that hospital stay, and then they get discharged. Mm-hmm. Where do they get discharged to? Usually to a skilled nursing rehab kind of step down to get them better and over the next hump.
Right.
And Medicare is going to cover some of that. So Medicare does pay and play a little bit in that space, but it's only for a limited time, 100-day max. Not going to get more Medicare to pay for that. When you get to day 101, even if you still need to be there,
then what happens?
Medicare's done.
So then what happens?
Get your checkbook out.
Or you go home and you're not happy.
Well, can you go home? That's the problem. If you still need to be there, okay, Medicare's done with you. That they're only going to cover you for 100 yeah. days. They're not that it's bad. That's just what the numbers are.
Right.
And now on day 101, and I'm not being facetious, get your checkbook out because now you're going on to something called private pay.
And then what does that cost?
$10,000 to $12,000 a month.
I just met with a family yesterday, and her mother really doesn't need to be in long-term care. There's about $400,000 in assets.
Right.
And she is paying. She's been looking at long-term care because she thought that was going to be her next step.
Right.
Nursing home. $12,000 a month.
Yep.
And they weren't going to offer Band-Aids. She had to pay for the Band-Aids extra.
So it's kind of mind-blowing. Most people don't have the realization that's what it costs. Mm-hmm. And people that are listening, and when I talk to my clients, how many of you guys are making $12,000 a month?
Oh.
The answer is no one.
Right.
Okay. And
not
so that,
in Florida or not.
I wouldn't be sitting here right now if I was.
I understand. Hey, I'm retired. I'm making $12,000 a month.
Yeah.
The idea is that if you don't have that kind of cash flow coming in, you get set up into a situation where you have this severe negative cash flow. It's draining out of you. And there's one destination when you're on that trip, and that is zero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I stop all that. I protect all of your life savings. I make sure that you get the care that you need and that we get that care paid for without you having to
because
become
poor
first. Because
you know what you're
first.
Doing and you know
well,
what the
course.
Laws are.
Absolutely.
And I think it's so fabulous, especially in Florida, because like Florida is good to the spouse.
Very good to the spouse, yes.
I think that's an important thing that people need to know about.
And what
there
you
are
mean?
People that say to me, okay, I have a place in Albany.
Right.
And I have a place in Florida. So well, if it comes to the point.
I'd rather be in Florida. Yeah,
okay.
And the world of Medicaid, and New York is not a bad state. There are some other states that are much more less friendly, shall we say.
Yeah.
Ohio is, as it always comes to my mind.
That's why everybody moves to Florida from Ohio.
Well, I tell you, it's better to be here than there for the and regarding this mm-hmm. issue, for sure,
right.
100%. So.
Wow. Wow.
Pretty crazy.
All right, so now the next question was, when do I think I need to start planning
that's
for
the,
Medicaid? What do I wait till they say my loved one needs to go in a community? Do I wait because my loved one just had a stroke? Or,
correct,
or what?
Correct. So this is probably the best question that can be asked in my world. It's not how I do it, and not what you know what to do, but when
right.
to do it.
Right.
The when question. And here's the answer. Okay, and I'm not trying to be funny here. It does depend on your particular circumstances. You know, what's the setup here? What is your psychology? What disease are you working with? I often break it down into three different columns, three different categories of clients that I work with. I work on one end of the category, one end of the scale, is these uh-oh clients. And I call them my uh-oh clients because they're in the nursing home, they weren't expecting to be there, they just got the $12,000 a month bill, sitting on the kitchen table, and they go, uh-oh,
what do I do
now?
Right.
Okay, so I see a lot of uh-oh clients, which is fine. On the other end of the spectrum, what we see is what I call my Uber planner clients. And this is a psychology of a person that they just really love having a plan for everything. And I jokingly say they know what they're going to have for breakfast next month. It's written in their day timer, and the shopping list is in there by aisle from Publix. Because they just love to have a plan. Okay, nothing wrong with that. So
no.
I do see some Uber planners.
It's good. It's important.
But here's a sweet spot. Okay, is when, if you have writing on the wall, if you have a heads up kind of notice that this problem is manifesting in your world.
Okay, so I go to the doctor mm-hmm. and my doctor says that your loved one has dementia.
Yeah, okay.
Is that when?
That would be, that's big writing on the wall.
Okay,
or if you have a history in your family?
See, history is one thing. Without the actual flag waving, you know, yeah, let's say my dad had Alzheimer's disease. Well, I don't really think that I need to be taking active planning for myself in this moment. But I've gone to my neurologist, and my neurologist says, Sean, you know, that memory thing that we thought was not a big deal, I really think it might be Alzheimer's. On your way home from the doctor, you need to come by my office.
Okay.
Or meet you at the doctor's office.
So, it's kind of game on at that point in time. And if we can get ahead of the problem as opposed to solving it from behind, it provides much more benefit for the family, for the client. We don't have to do things, you know, with our, you know, getting our heart rate up. We can just do it. You know, methodically, without having to get all excited about it. So, writing on the wall. If you have writing on the wall, it's time to start planning. And one more thing. Regardless of whether you have writing on the wall or not, you absolutely need to have a good power of attorney in place.
Yeah.
Because that allows me in those uh-oh client type situations when somebody wasn't expecting this problem, the stroke issue mm-hmm. is my favorite yep. example of it. On Monday, you're fine. On Tuesday, no way.
Right.
Well, who's going to come in and take care of your business? Who's going to be able to talk to me to help solve these problems?
Mm-hmm.
You're in a nursing home with a stroke. Who's your backup plan?
And, you know,
and most people don't have one.
I'm not waiting to 65 to put these papers in order.
No. If you're breathing at over 18, you need a right. power of attorney.
Exactly. And I think that's another thing yeah, people period. Don't realize. Yes. They think, I don't need a power of attorney or something until I'm 60 or I'm 65 or whatever.
Well, I give you, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, no, yeah, tell me. A perfect example. My son was 25, came home from college.
Right.
Walked through my door and he had the, I call it the juicy fruit smell. Diabetes.
Ooh.
Oh. Okay, went from a 220-pound rugby player down to 110 pounds. Moves home, get him to the doctor. He ends up in the hospital, blood sugar well over 800.
Wow.
We get it controlled, get him back out of the hospital, and he calls me. He said, Mom, I have to go back to the doctor. I said, what's going on? He said, I woke up this morning and I'm vomiting blood. And I went, oh, my God.
Ruh-roh.
Crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or other... choice words.
Yeah. Other choice words. That's the nice words Mom said. And sure. So he goes to the doctor and he calls me. They were sending me to the hospital for blood gases. And I didn't want to tell him because he's already spent 6 weeks in the hospital.
Right.
You're not leaving the hospital. You're being admitted.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Necrotic lung. They had to open his lung up. Left lung, scrape it.
Wow.
Well, he had to be intubated.
Right.
Uh-huh.
No POA. Not a single doctor would talk to me.
Yep, yep.
Not a single person would.
No. Yeah, they're
so what did they do? Who did they talk to?
Well, they eventually talked to me, but now we have a power of attorney in place. Believe me.
Yeah,
living will. Exactly. Everything's in place.
Exactly. So I have kind of an offer for everybody, and this is meant to be a joke, just in case you're not picking that up. As I do your healthcare surrogate and your power of attorney for free, the only catch is you have to come and see me the day before you lose your mind.
Okay. I'm late already.
Pre-planned. You're late. Pre-planned.
I'm late. Pre-planned. It's all done.
So obviously the idea is that you don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you should have this in place. And whether you're 26 or 86.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. And my son, he was on his way to Miami. And he was driving with his friend who's going to go do a job down in Miami. And he fell asleep. He wasn't driving. He was a passenger. Next thing he knows, he wakes up upside down in crashed the car up. On the side in the woods with the EMT cutting him out of the car and then flying him to the emergency room on a helicopter with a broken back, a skull fracture.
Mm-hmm, Is this like father like son here thing or something?
Really? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. I have my issues too.
Well, right now we need to hear from our wonderful partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888 1-800-273-4410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You have to ride in the car with her.
All I gotta say is I cannot believe that Lynn said that to me. Do we have Dr. Schumann on the line?
No, actually, we got a caller with a question.
Hello, caller. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I was applying for Medicaid for my mother, and something was mentioned that she had gave money away in the last 5 years. What will that affect?
Interesting problem, for sure. You know, we talk about qualifying for Medicaid, and a lot of times we get all wound up about how much money you can have, what your assets are, what your income is. But there's also a way that you can disqualify yourself for those benefits, and that's if you gave your stuff away. So Medicaid has, a first commandment is that thou shall not give your assets away, because they assume that you did that in order to qualify for Medicaid. And the penalty for doing that is disqualification for those benefits.
Oh.
So it's a pretty darn big deal. Okay. But here's the nice thing about it, is if you have done that, and people give things away all the time. And by the way, there's no real safe person or place to give this. Giving it to the charity, giving it to the Alzheimer's Association, the Red Cross, American Cancer, whatever.
Your kids.
Your kids. They're not a charity. Well, I guess they are a charity at some point.
Some of them are.
Some of them are a charity. But if you give your assets away, then Medicaid assumes you did that to qualify for benefits, and they disqualify you. Now, there's a window of time, and what caller's talking about is there's a five-year window that if you have given away something within that five-year window, that's what's going to disqualify you. If it's 5 years and a month, even if you gave $1 million away, that's not going to be within that look-back time period, and Medicaid doesn't care.
Wow.
So, but what happens if you gave something away? Because, you know, you weren't planning on having a stroke. You know, yeah, you helped right. your kid and with I a down payment. You gave him $20,000 or something like that to help on this or the other thing. Are you out of the water? Do you have to wait for 5 years until you can qualify for Medicaid benefits? Big question. And the answer is no, you do not. But you, I know, right? I
mean,
okay. So, but the lot of thing that's out there in the world is that, well, if I gave something away, I'm just kind of screwed here. I'm out of the running, and that's not true. The way you fix this problem is you have the money given back. So we call it a retransfer in the office. So money was given away. All right, money can be given back. Mm-hmm. If the money's given back, it erases the transfer as if it never happened.
Oh.
And there's one of my classic stories on this is I was helping this pastor, and he had started three churches in the area. And he was, let me tell you, very successful, okay? He had a lot of money. But I asked him this question in the conference room. I say, well, Pastor, have you given anything away in the last 5 years? And he looks at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, you do know what I do for a living, right? I'm like, yeah, well, you know, there's that tithe thing. And so he had given a bunch of money to the church as a tithe. Now, that's not okay in Medicaid's world.
Really?
You give it to the church, that's not okay. All right. So I asked him, that's the reason why this is kind of funny, is I said, well, will the church give it back? And he's like, he looked at me again like I was stupid. And he was like, no, the church is not going to give it back. So how do we fix this problem? So how we fixed it is I had his son work with me to help give money back to his dad on behalf of the church. Uh-huh. So the church didn't have to give it back. The son did. Wasn't the son, used his money. You follow me here?
Yeah.
I erased the transfer penalty. We got everything fixed. We repositioned his funds to qualify for benefits, and everything was okay. But we had a transfer problem. And the point is you can fix it. And yeah. we fix it every time.
And you know how to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you know what? Yeah. There are a lot of elder care attorneys out there that don't do any of this kind of stuff.
So did that
they're
help you?
They're not creative. They're not inventive. They're, you know. Yeah,
did
you
that
know.
Help her?
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah, I think it probably
is. Is she still on the line?
Do you have anything else to say, honey?
No, it answered a lot of questions.
All right, awesome.
Thank you so
Greg,
much for calling
super
in.
Super question. Greg, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a delicious day.
You too.
Yeah, anybody else has a question for Sean, please call in at 727-441-3000.
So you can't just do it on paper. You really have to give the money back.
Right. So what it did, the son wrote the dad a check, and that money went from the son to the dad. That erased the penalty, yeah. erased the transfer, the gift as if it right. never had happened. And now we were kind of starting at square one again. The other analogy is that when dad moved that money to the church, gave that money to the church, he kind of moved his chess piece against what the rules allow you to do. And so before you can play the game anymore, you have to bring that piece back to the square where you started from
yeah.
and then resolve yeah. the problem.
And then you can give it back?
I know. Yeah, well, we don't like the word give because give is bad. So I can pay, I can move, I can reposition it, I can protect it 100%. But before we could get to that point, we had to clear up the transfer penalty
right.
issue.
So, professional. So, I give money to my church. Now, I don't give thousands and thousands of dollars right. because obviously I don't make that kind of money. But my tithing every, let's just say it's $500 a month.
Okay.
If
okay.
I would need Medicaid tomorrow, am I going to disqualify?
Yes, because it's cumulative over time. It's not just one $500 gift that you've made. You made a $500 gift every month for the last 60 months. Do the math. That's your transfer. It's not just the one $500.
Wow.
It's the accumulation of all oh. of your gifts that are a problem.
Gotcha. So just give them cash.
Yeah. Or crypto these days.
Just a briefcase here.
Okay.
So and to go on that, and this is actually a big issue for many of my clients, is that I tell them, and let's say they have a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, this Medicaid thing is definitely going to be in their world in the future, and we're having the discussion, and we're talking about what you can and can't do and what you should and shouldn't be doing. And I say, listen, you can't give that money to the church anymore. You got to stop that. And they're like, oh, no, you can't tell me to do that,
right.
Sean. And they're adamant that they are going to continue that program of tithing, which is fine. I understand their commitment. But if you're going to do that, let me help you so that we can do it in a way that we can get that money to the church, but in a way that's not disqualifying you from Medicaid benefits.
That doesn't hurt you.
That doesn't hurt you.
Yeah.
So, and I do this more often than you might think, actually. So.
Hmm. Well, and I hope people listen to this because a lot of people don't realize that there's different ways to go about it.
There's definitely a solution here. Absolutely. Yeah. I've been doing this for 31 years, basically 100% success rate. If you come to see me and you're going into the nursing home, I will protect your assets and qualify you for benefits.
And you know what? And they need you because if people try to do this stuff on their own. Oh, I think I'm going to apply for Medicaid.
No.
And if you have one dot...
I tell you,
one any, right? Donna, you've seen it every day.
Yeah, a day doesn't go by that we're not walking in the hall. I pass one of my staff in the hall, and we're just shaking our heads and going, how does anybody do this without somebody like us helping you? It is so complex and Byzantine, and there is zero logic to the whole thing.
Mm. And you're supposed
B
to
does
know,
not come after A in the world of Medicaid.
You're supposed okay. to know what you're good at. This is not my business. I'm not an attorney.
Yeah.
It's not my business.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you have to know what you're good at.
That's
you have
right.
to. To,
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Well, you know, I don't change oil on my own car. It's not that I can't. It's not that it's that hard to do.
but I'm not good at it.
But I'm not good at it. And the one time, it was one time that I did that, I forgot to take the little ring out. And I put two rings in. I drive off, and then there's a big thing of oil behind my car
yeah.
as I drive down the street. I was
not
like,
good.
You know.
You got to clean up all that.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Put it in the windshield washer.
Stay in your lane. Oh, no. I just put that in my car today. And thank God. I was like, am I pouring it in the right hole?
My sister had to come over.
That's why mine went to the dealership on Tuesday.
There you go.
So a couple of years ago, I had a tire that kept going low. I knew I needed a new tire.
Right.
But I kept going to Wawa, whatever, filling it up or whatever. A couple weeks. I go there with my grandson. He goes, you want me to fill up the tire, Grandma? I go, no, I want you to go inside and get this. You know what? I'll do that.
Right.
And I go and I take the hose. I had the water hose. He's like, Grandma, could you do that over again? I could video you.
Yeah. Let me TikTok this. I'm going to get a lot of hits.
Yeah. Just here to for your pleasure.
There you go.
So, Don, let's talk about what's going on with Arden Courts.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so there has been some changes at Arden Courts. We are still Arden Courts. We will never change Arden Courts. However, about 2 years ago, we merged with another company called ProMedica. ProMedica is based out of Toledo, Ohio. We are the 15th healthcare provider within the country.
Oh.
This is the biggie. We are now not for profit.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
Yeah, this just...
That's why you come on the show.
We're starting to roll everything out. You'll start seeing branding changes. Please don't freak out when you don't see the big blue heart anymore. You'll see a lime green, and you'll see ProMedica. It is not, nothing has changed as far as operations go. Everything has stayed the same.
It's like going to Charlie's Pizza. You change the sign to Millie's Pizza, but it's still Charlie's Pizza.
Exactly.
So is it going to be ProMedica now?
No, it'll be Arden Courts with the
ProMedica subline.
Okay, good. So that's all staying the same. The staff has not ran. None of the upper management has been dismissed. Everybody is charging forward. I've worked for not-for-profits before. I find them very beneficial.
So what opportunities does this open up now?
Opportunities open up such as I'm not paying shareholders anymore.
Yeah.
Or we are not paying shareholders anymore.
And so what can you do with that money?
The not-for-profit money that is earned comes right back to the community for the upgrades and for the increased staffing levels and things like that. We are blessed at Arden Courts, at least Arden, I'm not going to speak for every Arden Courts in the country, but I'm going to speak for Arden Courts of Seminole. We are blessed that our staff, I've been there 9 years. Bernadette Homan, who is my co-partner, has been there 20.
Yeah.
We have our executive director has been there, I've been 9, so she's 8. My activities director has been promoted. She started there when the building opened in 1998.
Wow.
And she was a caregiver. Your caregivers. I have caregivers that have been on our community 19 years.
Yes. That's huge.
That is huge when you're looking
you
for transition.
You know the rollover in communities?
No, I'm telling you. Yeah. In Arden Courts, since day one, when they broke ground in our area, and they came out with this new thing called memory care. And here I am taking care of older folks with memory issues, and Arden shows up in our community.
And you're like,
what
whoa.
Is this deal?
Mm-hmm. Right.
To me, it was a case of first impression. I had never seen anything like it before. And since day one, and they've just been amazing. And I got to tell you one of my favorite stories about Arden. The first time I went to the Arden Seminole, they gave me a tour, and I'm walking up, and they say, "Do you notice something?" I'm in the parking lot, all right? And they said, "Do you notice something?" And I'm like, "No, what?" He goes, "There's no curb." And I'm like, "Well, what?" Well, that's a big deal because we've identified the issue that some of people with memory issues have a gait issue, a walking problem,
yep.
and we want to eliminate all of those challenges as much as we can.
Yep.
So we don't have a curb between our parking lot and our front door.
That's right.
It's awesome. I mean, the level of detail is so
great. Love they got the walking pass, all right? So
yep.
I can go out the door, I can walk around, because this is what people with dementia
correct.
Like to do, right? What kills me is Joe Blow's community, whatever, says, "We now have memory care."
Right. Yes.
It's on the second floor, so they're damn locked up.
Yep.
And none of the staff have been trained.
Yep.
But we have that memory care unit.
Yeah, that's the other side of the
could
of
use
the
a jail cell.
Yeah,
and that's what Arden Court is not. Arden Court, since day one, is. I tell the curb store because it seems like such a minimal thing,
but
that's
not.
Just translated throughout their entire practice
that's
of
right.
what they do. It's amazing.
Well, the thing is, you could be living in Arden Courts in Ohio.
That's what amazes
me. Now we could move you to Florida. All right, so there's going to be a little transition on that plane. But when you get to Florida, you go in, it's like going in your front door in Ohio.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It is.
Yep.
That is, to me, the most amazing
Every
thing.
Arden Courts, there's 55 of us throughout the country.
55.
Wow. So if you change something, you all have to change it.
Everything stays the same.
That's so cool.
So what is the most important thing for a person with dementia? Consistency, the same, being comfortable, know where I am.
Have training. I mean, our caregivers
are trained
that they do not tell our residents, no, you can't have that, no, you can't do that, or no, you can't be there. Let's be real. If I look at Sean and say, nope, can't do that, I'm going to get some kickback.
You know,
that is not.
Oh yeah, I can.
So don't tell me. And let's be realistic. I'm in my 50s. If you tell me no, I'm going to do it. And perfect example, I went to the Army.
Oh my goodness.
I had a girlfriend.
I don't want to take care of you, Donna, when you're older.
I had a girlfriend that bet me I would not make it through basic training. You're not going to make
it. She reminds me of my sister Patty.
I got off absolutely the bus after training, and I went, and I called my mother, and I said, you make sure this person is standing at the bus depot.
All right.
In my class A's, and as I looked at her, I went, guess what? So now I'm 58 years old. If I was that stubborn at 17,
yeah,
I've had a lot of years
yeah
to work on my stubborn.
To work on that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah. So until you say, my caregivers say, okay, let's try this instead. So we're trained to redirect and not say no. And yeah, and you'll see a big, big difference. Just transitioned a little lady. When I met her, she was tactile, sitting in a Jerry chair doing the picking and the ticking. She is now up walking through my community, wow, causing havoc. She's been causing there 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's okay, though. I want them causing havoc.
The more stubborn they are, the better I like them.
Yeah, you know, somebody said in the support group, so I do a support group, a Zoom support group, the first Friday of every month, sponsored by Art and Cause, and somebody was like, I'm just like my wit's end. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know. But just to be able to come there and talk to other people and find an answer and figure something out. And then one woman comes on and she goes, oh, I'm sorry I'm a little late on the call, but my husband walked out of the house. I don't know where he went. I just called 911. They're going to look for him. And she's still on the Zoom call.
Right.
And I'm like, did they find him yet? No. I said, maybe you should call 911 back again. But so many people are in so much denial of what's happening.
That's
we need to.
We have a saying.
It's
in the office,
okay.
And this is facetious again. The best way to solve a problem is to define it as not a problem. And I'm being sarcastic.
Yes.
Okay. Just in case you didn't pick that up. But we all do that, and all across our life. And if it's dementia that's coming in down our pipe, the easiest way to deal with that, especially in the beginning, is to define it as it's not a problem. It's not that big of a deal. It's okay. And I guess that's probably not the best strategy. Let's put it that way. So.
Well, then she said to me. One of the women said on the call too. She said, so all of a sudden, my husband lately has been asking me about his parents and about his brothers and sisters. Do I still have brothers and sisters? And she said to him, yes, but you're the last one. And then, my mother and father are alive. And she said, no, they're not. And this is the first time he has asked this in this journey.
Right.
And he was like, I never got to say goodbye to them. You know, and he was, and I said to her, honey, anything he asks you about this from now on, it's, yeah, they're working, yeah, they're going to call us later. Because for a person like that, every time they hear it the first time, they didn't ever hear it before.
Why are you, we call it creative reality. When we're counseling our clients in this particular situation.
Well, I like those wording.
You don't need to keep on trying to reorient them to the fact that their spouse or their brother or this family member has passed already and that they're dead. Because literally, they're dying for the first time every time you tell them that.
Oh, my God.
It's a horror. Stop it. You're not being nice.
It's a grieving, and they just go right back into the grieving process.
Right. So
but see, that's why we have this show, because people don't know this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've said that to people, and they're like, oh, okay. Okay, that's good. I could do that. Yep. You know, because nobody wants to see mom crying that dad died or that her parents died or anything.
Compassionate fibbing is always.
Compassionate fibbing. Yes, creative that's reality. How I feel, you can come up with some good ones.
I just wrote down creative reality.
Compassionate fibbing. You know, just as you're going to plan for your future, power of attorney, healthcare surrogate, living will, by calling an Arden Courts and talking to an advisor does not mean that you're ready to transition.
Right.
It means you're putting a plan in place in case
something happens. I'm being educated, and I'm not going to be in a trauma if something happens.
There's so much barriers to moving forward, and then the unknown is one of the biggest ones. And here's something that I throw in for an Arden situation is that a lot of times we have family caregivers, spouse or kids, they're at home, and we're dealing with a progressive disease like dementia is being caused by something. Let's call it Alzheimer's in many cases, but we're still at home. But I got this old guy taking care of his wife who has Alzheimer's disease. What happens if something happens to him? He goes to the hospital for something. All of a sudden, I got the wife at home.
Yep.
She's got Alzheimer's. That is a crisis.
Then your worst scenario comes true.
Correct. So here's a kind of a cool thing, and I've done this with some of my clients, is let's say we hook up with Arden Courts. It's like, well, I want you to go down and talk to these folks, all right? We're not placing right now.
Right.
But can we set them up as our emergency go-to?
Yeah.
So then in the event that it hits the fan, so to speak, that we already have a plan in place
that Arden can
come
done.
In and take care of this person while he's right. in the hospital.
You already mm-hmm. saw it.
And you've already, yes. And so why are you flying naked?
Yeah, because if my mom's in the hospital and all of a sudden and she needs to go stop and all of a sudden she needs to go somewhere, if I know I have this in place, yeah. how much easier than like, oh my God, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Where do I go? What do I, you know?
And the neighbor trying to show up, the daughter flying in from L.A., everything's
right.
a lunatic, crazy world.
Right.
Or, no, we got this a plan in place already for this.
There's a short letter that I give a lot of my families as they're planning, and it simply says, to whom it may concern, if I, the caregiver, goes to the hospital, if I fall, fracture, if I have a heart attack,
right.
the first phone number for my loved one is 727-517-7800.
Oh, I didn't know you had that. I love that.
So now we're pre-wired and pre-programmed.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
awesome.
I give it to them. I make copies on letterhead and tell them, you plaster the city with it.
Yep.
Doctors, emergency yep. rooms, 911. I don't care where it goes, but they need to know who to call.
Agreed.
It's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today, or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help, because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Foot Bar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Foot Bar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Foot Bar Walker.
Podcast, and it's called Candid Conversations, because I felt like I'm just shoving caregiving down your throat 24/7, and you're like, give me a break, Linda. So Candid Conversations is about, so you want to write a book, so good things that are happening in the world or whatever. And so this week I interviewed 99-year-old Jean Morrison,
cool,
who is Lynn's friend's mom in Canada. And this woman is brilliant. She wears a big hat all the time. She lives in a community, so the community said, so-and-so was supposed to show up today to do entertainment, but they couldn't come or whatever. And she's almost blind, so she gets up behind the microphone for 45 minutes and does jokes. Wow. During the Super Bowl, her grandson took a picture of her during, like, halftime. She's like this, dancing in the chair, and who was it, Beyonce or somebody had a big hat on, and so she was the, oh, Mary J. Blige.
Right.
And she was so excited about that. She got like 20 million views.
Oh my
Snoop
God!
Dog here.
Wait till this. Wait right. till they watch this.
Oh my God! So
oh, you have to
so
see
we
it.
We were so fabulous. So we do this whole thing, and so at the end of her, I go, "So, Jean, is there anything last thing you'd like to tell our listeners?" And she tells this little poem. The last line of poem is, "Don't ask me because I don't give a shit."
Love it. I think more people should have that attitude.
So go to my YouTube channel and check that out. It's pretty kind of funny. So Donna, another thing I love about Art and Courts is your education, because I'm part of your education. Yeah. So what's coming up?
So coming up April 7th, Dr. Tam Cummings. She is a PhD gerontologist. She has been in our circle way before I
forever.
Even came.
Yeah. Yep.
She is going to be having a webinar, and it is the ABCs of dementias of the Alzheimer's type. Mm-hmm. So when somebody says you have Alzheimer's, it probably not just Alzheimer's, guys. It's probably right. There's a dementia in there somewhere.
Right.
I take a look at Linda's website. She has it there. Register for that. If you have questions, please call me. You can call me at the office at 727-517-7800. Or, here's a big one, 727-512-9925. That's my cell phone.
Is there a website?
Yeah.
What is the website?
It is https / T-I-N.
No, it is go to Linda Burhans. I'll send you the link.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Just go to Linda Burhans.
Because I don't call anybody
anymore. No, it's too much.
What do I type in my phone?
Right.
So I sit here playing with the phone.
Can I text you?
Are you doing a live presentation, Sean?
I actually am going to do a live presentation today, the first time since we're back from COVID, basically.
First time.
First one's going to be today. It's going to be at 2 o'clock at the Palm Harbor Library and their education room that's there.
Cool.
And we're going to be talking all about how do you use Medicaid to preserve your life savings when facing a long-term care situation.
You and I need to do a presentation together.
We'd be good together.
Cool.
We'd be very fun.
She's very looking for a new partner.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. I heard your partner's leaving, right?
Oh, this is a long ride home. Thanks so much for tuning in today, guys. You know I love you. I'm here to help you in any way I can. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call.